Good morning. Our first reading this morning is from the prophecy of Isaiah, the sixth chapter of that, verses 1 to 8. Isaiah says, "In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is Yahweh Shavot, the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filled with smoke. And I said, 'Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, Yahweh Shavot, the Lord of hosts.' Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. And he touched my mouth with it and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away and your sin is forgiven.' Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" The next reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, also chapter 6, verses 5 to 15. Jesus speaking. "And when you pray, you are not to be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners in order to be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way: 'Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive them, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And so we begin our journey together entitled Growing in Prayerfulness. In this first part, we're looking at the nature and the elements of prayer. I want to say right from the outset that there are times when prayer is easy, there are times when prayer is just darn hard work. There are various things that impact our prayerfulness, our readiness for prayer, our sense of connectedness with God. This morning I want to share with you a framework that would help us to gain a greater understanding of the elements of prayer and the flow or the movement of prayer. So what is prayerfulness? Or we might say that it's the human inclination towards engagement in conversation with God. Or maybe it's the heart's yearning for intimacy between the human spirit and God. The third expression is probably the one that sits most comfortably with me, although the others have some good insights. It is a way of life that reflects a posture of humility, attentiveness, and responsiveness to God. So if that's what prayerfulness is, then what's prayer? I often call it the divine human conversation. It's our response to God's initiative. God spoke first in this whole process. We have the written word of God. We have the revealed word of God. We have Jesus, the word of God, God made flesh. And in response to God's word, we make our offering to God. It is listening and speaking and listening some more. And while we might think that prayer comes from our lips or comes from our mind, prayer actually comes initially from our heart. Consider any significant relationship that you have. A familial relationship, a family, a friendship, a close friendship. Then what we say to each other, it comes from our heart. In some ways it's no different in the way in which we communicate with God. So the elements of prayer are adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And you're probably thinking, what? What on earth does that mean? Well, I'll give you some explanation of these words as we go through. It's not an exhaustive list of the different types of prayer, but it's a basic list that helps us to understand our approach and movement into communion with God. Prayers of adoration. This is ascribing glory to God. Our expressions of love for God. The use of titles and adjectives that express the nature of God. I wonder if you might give me some examples. What would be some words that we might use to describe God as a prayer of adoration? All-powerful. Loving.
Provider.
Forgiving God.
Gracious.
King of kings. That's right. That's right. So it's the recognition that prayer, this divine human conversation, begins with our addressing God, focusing on God. Majestic God, Alpha and Omega, Emmanuel. There are a whole lot of titles throughout the scriptures and descriptions of God, adjectives that we might use. From Isaiah, for example, the passage that was read to us, and they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." Now, the context of the call of Isaiah is more like an experience of worship than a prayer per se. But our movement in worship and our movement in prayer parallel each other. And we'll see a little bit more of that as the journey unfolds. So that ascription of glory to God. And Jesus, in teaching his disciples how to pray, says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name," or "holy be your name." That beginning of Holy God, I come before you. And in teaching our children or our grandchildren how to pray, dear God, you are. And then you fill in the blanks. You are amazing. You are awesome. You are loving. You are gracious. Might be the same sorts of things that Jeremy says to Niley, but that we might say to those whom we love. But we get the gist that this is an expression from our heart, giving our worth to God, recognising who God is. That's the starting point in our prayer. Prayer's a confession. So having recognised the nature of God, there's something about recognising God's presence with us that reveals that which is of us that is unholy, that is unrighteous, that is ungodly. And that revelation prompts us to confess, to offer to God our sorrow and our repentance. So expressions of repentance before God. Our confession is naming our mistakes, our sins of misdeeds. That is the things that we've done and said or contemplated that have been wrong. And omissions. That is the things that we ought to have done that we've left undone. That kind or gracious word that we had the opportunity to speak to someone that we withheld just to punish them or let them suffer a little more. Seeking God's forgiveness. This is what confession is. And so from Isaiah chapter 6 verse 5, Isaiah himself cries out, "Woe to me! I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips." Isaiah is recognizing his own sinfulness and the sinfulness of the nation of God's people. "And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty," in recognizing the awesome, holy presence of God. We can't help but be convicted by the Spirit of that which is in us, that is darkness, not light. And so we offer that in confession. From Matthew's Gospel, Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." Now, I want to talk about here Jesus inviting us into confession. Lord, forgive us. To talk about this interplay of forgiving others in order that we might be forgiven, that's a whole other sermon. We'll cover that some other time. But to recognise that Jesus taught forgiveness of sins, that is, that we would confess to God that which we've done wrong. And so in teaching our children and our grandchildren how to pray, that we would teach them sorry prayers. Dear God, I am sorry for. And that we would name those specific things that that the Spirit has brought to our mind. And often I'll pray, and anything else I can't remember right now. Because you and I know that the list gets pretty long of our stuff-ups and our mistakes. We don't remember them all. So there's adoration, confession. And what flows out of confession is that truth declared to us that our sins are forgiven. It moves us to thanksgiving. And thanksgiving are those expressions of appreciation for all that God has done. Giving thanks for God's gift of grace and salvation. Acknowledging and naming God's blessings. Isaiah 6:6-7. "Then one of the seraphim," the angelic beings, "flew to me with a live coal in his hand." A live coal is one that is still burning, still glowing, red from the fire, "which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth," yeah, "and said, 'See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. That is the good news of God's grace. Isaiah, it was declared to Isaiah by God's angelic messenger, you are forgiven, you've been cleansed, you've been made whole. God sees you differently now. Your guilt is taken away. And it's out of that that we give our expression of thanks to God. And from Matthew's Gospel, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. The words that Jesus spoke after teaching specifically about the words of the prayer. And again, that affirmation that your heavenly Father will also forgive you. It's a point of rejoicing. It's a freedom that comes that we can find no other way but by God's grace. And in teaching our children and grandchildren how to pray, dear God, thank you for. Thank you. And the kids shared this morning about those simple things that they recognise, that God's provision for them. Everything, Amos said, well, that about sums it up. And we can be more specific in saying, God, I thank you. I thank you for these people in my life. I thank you for your gift of grace and your mercy. God, I thank you for these blessings. Thank you, Lord. And now we move to this word, supplication. Supplication is basically praying for ourselves and for others. Now, praying for others we often call intercession. Supplication is just a broader-based catch-all of praying for ourselves, our own needs, and for the needs of those whom we know, either specifically by name or in general. You know, there are times when we pray for whole nations of people, we pray for others. Prayers for the coming of the kingdom of God. That is a yearning for the reign of God to be made real in the lives of others and in our own lives. From Isaiah, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. Now that's not really the articulation of a prayer of intercession, but it's a part of the outworking of a prayer. Because you and I need to face the reality that when we pray for someone, when we pray for something for someone, it may well be that God nudges us and says, and you are a part of the answer to this prayer. Give them a ring. Go and have coffee with them. Maybe we've been praying, and we will be praying later in the service, for the people of India, Nepal and Bangladesh, where the floods have been devastating. Whole communities wiped out by mudslides. Hundreds of people lost and feared dead. And we will pray for the well-being of those who remain and for their incredible sense of loss. But it may well be out of that God saying, and you can financially help these people get back on their feet by giving of yourself into this situation. God is calling for someone to go in his name, to proclaim the truth, to bring God's people back unto himself. Who will go for us, says God. And Isaiah said, here I am, pick me. I am willing to be a part of the answer of my own heart cry for God's people. I will be God's mouthpiece. I will be God's spokesperson. I will bear the sacrifices and the struggle of what it means to be a prophet of Yahweh. And so when we come in prayer to God for others, it may be that God says, and now I want you to help bring about that answer to that prayer. And from Matthew's Gospel, those elements of a prayer of supplication or prayer for others and ourselves, that we would pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, may your purposes be fulfilled in the here and now. Give us today our daily bread. God, give to me, give to my family the provision of our daily needs. God, for us as a church family, God, provide for our needs. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. God, help my feet to stay on the narrow path. I don't know about you, but for me, there's an incredible sense of guilt and heaviness of heart at times when again and again I come before God to confess the same thing over and over again. God, give me strength to resist the temptation of saying or doing those things, being caught up in that pattern of behaviour that is destructive to me or to others. Lord, lead me not into temptation, but spare me from the evil one. Protect and safeguard me. And I pray that for my family, for my children. I pray that for our children as they go into school each day. God, protect and safeguard. And in teaching our children and grandchildren how to pray, it's simply, dear God, please. And then asking whatever it is that may be our heart's desire for ourselves or for others. Dear God, please. And so to summarise growing in prayerfulness today, two dimensions. The first is that nurturing of a personal, that's yours and my own responsibility, that personal and corporate, that's us as church, way of life. That is that we would see prayerfulness as being a way of life, a way of being who we are as children of the living God. A way of life that reflects a posture of humility. I know who I am in relation to the Lord my God. I might be confident and powerful in all manner of places in terms of my work. I am an influential person. But in my relationship with God, I recognise my brokenness, my frailty, my yearnings, desire to be righteous in God's eyes. And the reality of who I am, God, I come before you. And that's why we're talking about bowing prayer, that sense of reverence and humility. Some of us may kneel, some of us may lie flat on our stomachs before God. We may simply sit and bow our heads. But it's a style of life, a way of living, that gives expression to that posture of, and I bow before God, my King and Creator. And not only a way of life that reflects that humility, but an attentiveness to God. Now, some of you will be too young to remember my favourite Martian. It was one of the great black and white programs on TV of a weekday afternoon. I couldn't wait to get home and watch it on telly. And Martin the Martian, his antennae would go up at certain times when he was about to become invisible. It's like having our spiritual antennae up all the time. God, what are you saying to me here? God, what are you prompting me to do? And maybe many of us, or very few of us, have ever heard the audible voice of God. But I'm sure that most of us have received a bit of a nudge from God or an impression, a move to pick up the phone and to ring someone, or to drop in and visit, or to write some things down, the inspiration of the Spirit of God prompting, leading, confronting, nurturing us to be attentive to what God is doing and saying. And not just being attentive, but then being responsive to that prompt. A response of obedience, faithfulness. God, I'm not sure if this is you or not. I'm not sure if this is just my good idea or if there's something that you're stirring within me here. I'll take this step of faith and do it. It's been amazing the number of times that I visited someone in the hospital at just a certain time that was significant for them. And it just happened to be in the order of my day that that's how I got there. Sometimes I was later than expected, other times earlier than expected. But there was something about God's timing in being there. Being humble, attentive, and responsive to God. So that's the posture of our life. The second is understanding the principal elements of prayer that provide a framework and a flow for our conversation with God. Now, I offer these to you: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Not as a burden and a rod to lay heavy upon your shoulders, but as a way to give you freedom in understanding, okay, so these are the different dimensions of prayer. I now have some clarity around that. And I can see how I can move from this dimension of prayer to this dimension of prayer to this dimension of prayer. And not that it's a recipe and has to be followed in a certain order. It's not a structure that confines and binds up. It's a framework that brings freedom and a greater sense of understanding. And in that understanding, that the Spirit might move us. And I'd probably say that there might be various points in our conversation with God in which thanksgiving is expressed. And it may well be adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, and more thanksgiving. Paul writes, give thanks in all circumstances. And it may well be that our prayers of thanks are like a cloth that's woven over all of these other elements of prayer. But I want you to take it and use it in a way that's going to be most helpful for informing you about that divine human conversation that you're engaged with God. In the name of Christ. Amen.